Good morning. Perek Chamisha Asar, chapter 15, Yira. Fear or awe. What does Yira have to do with Chesed? That's the main question that we want to think about today. Rav Volbi suggested two chapters ago, in the 13th perek, that there is a shorish, a unified root of these two principles, which seem to be not in consonance with each other. We're going to review that initially, but what we're going to find is perhaps, in light of his definition of Yira, there is another way of looking at a common thread between these two ideas. And that's what we're going to explore today. So see on the top line, he starts with the principle that he articulated earlier, that is Rav Volbi. Kamo shechesed hu re'iyas hazulas, just like chesed is the ability to see the other, and we spoke about what it means to really see the other person, to consider where they are, what their circumstances, what they're going through. Hakaras ha'adam hachai michutzalo, to recognize the person, the living person, who is outside of michutzali, outside of me. Kach ha'yira, so to yira, awe or fear, hi havchanas habore shehu michutzali, that is recognizing, acknowledging our Creator, which is outside of me. Okay, that's the theory. He's going to go on to develop that theory. It begins with the following point. And what we're going to think about is how this point actually could take us in a totally different direction from his theory, although, of course, it's not a stira, it's not a contradiction. So he suggests, he says, Hakochos hasumuyim hapoalim bekirbeinu. Kochos are power or drives that are samui, which means they are hidden. Hapoalim bekirbeinu einam akirim bedavar chutz me'atzmeinu. They don't recognize or they don't acknowledge things that are outside. There are these internal motivations. Haguf v'hakochus haruchaniyim ha-mistoefim imenu ein lahem ela ritzonoseyem shelahem. So there is an innate drive that we have that is focused on ourselves. I assume it has to do with a survival instinct that puts our interests first, that primarily worries about ourselves. It's even true, you could argue, on a biological level, within our own body. So, for example, if, God forbid, a person were stranded outdoors in the freezing cold, so what would happen? So then their organs would start to move the blood flow away from their extremities to their core. And that's why a person's extremities would, God forbid, would freeze first, because we have to take care of our core selves. So a person, lo aleinu, can imagine, a person could theoretically live without an arm or without a leg, but if their core, if a person's heart is not functioning or their lungs are not functioning, so there is this innate drive to sustain ourselves. And that is then expanded to not only sustaining ourselves, but pursuing our own interests, our own drives, what makes us feel good on different levels. So there is this very strong internal inward focus that Hashem built within every person. Got it. Ulam. However, nonetheless, the introduction of a soul creates another perspective. Hahitmazgus. The word hitmazgus comes from the word mizug. In Israel, what is mezeg avir? Right, the weather, and air conditioning is mazgan. The word mazgan, which means air conditioning, is not related to the word cool. The word air condition means to condition the air, means to balance out the air. So mezeg avir means the air balance or the weather is what the temperature balance is. So mazgan means to balance out. It's hot outside. There's a chamsin in Yerushalayim, so you put on the mazgan, so your air is balanced. So ha hit mazgut means the balance. Bein guf uneshama. I'm on line 5. Hechnisa bein hakocho so'ela koach acher. The introduction of the soul creates a new koach, a new force within the forces that we had previously or that we think about previously. Instinct. How do you translate that into English? It's a fairly simple translation. Instinct. But well, but if you say it in Hebrew, you have to say instinct. And then you say, you know, you have to give it a little bit of this. But that's not, I don't, that's one of the, reading modern Sfarim, you get all kinds of interesting words. It's like when Rav Moshe writes Tshuvas, so he often writes Yiddish words in English, or English words with Yiddish pronunciations. Very interesting. So he says, instinct to Omer La'adam, this is a new kind of instinct that says what? Lirasein atzmo. The word resin in modern Hebrew means a bit. A bit, not in a computer, in the mouth of a horse. A resin is the reins of a horse. He says there is an inner voice, there is a drive that enables us, that tells us, l'rasin atzmo, to hold back, to hold on to ourselves. Hold your horses. B'yitzarav uv'ma'asav. With a person's yeser, his drive, and his actions. Zuhi, says Rav Volbi, zuhi ha'yira. This is yira. Yira mirasenes es ha'adam. Yira muzzles, not really muzzles. What's a better English word? Restrains. Yira restrains a person. It's a restraint. That is the koach, that is the quality of yira. That's the midah. We see this in our avos. Avram Avinu was an expansive, larger-than-life personality. He was constantly seeking new people to befriend, new avenues for spiritual growth, new opportunities to bring out the name of Hashem. Super, Avraham Avinu is referred to as the Ish Chesed, expansive, engaging, growing. Yitzchak, on the other hand, Yitzchak is the opposite. Yitzchak is associated with the midah of yira, of pachad, of restraint. So Yitzchak digs wells. You know what the Chumash tells us? Where did he dig wells? He dug wells in the exact same place that his father pre-dug the same wells. So they had been covered up in the interim. But instead of seeking new areas, he says, let's restrain ourselves. Let's stay right where we are. We're going to dig wells, but they're going to be in the exact same spot, the same wells. There is going to be a measure of restraint. Instead of expanding, we're going to restrain. So now we could develop this theme, specifically as it relates to yira. L'kol adam, yeshna yira tivisos. Every person has an element of this yira. I would suggest that this is an innate yira also on an emotional and psychological level. This is the resin, and to different people, this is probably to a different degree, but on a basic level, this is what keeps us from, I don't know, walking out in the middle of the street when there's a ton of traffic. You know, we want to go to the other side, we have some place we need to be, but there is a midah of yira that says, wait a second. Don't do that. That's dangerous. Restrain yourself. There's part of us that is very excited to find a new opportunity or a thrill. But then there's the midah of yira that says, you want a thrill? Sit down and buckle your seatbelt in the roller coaster. Don't climb to the top of the John Hancock building and stand at the edge to see how close you can get. That's just dangerous. There's the Midah of Yira that says don't do that. And every person, you know, has to navigate that in a certain way. And unfortunately, lo aleinu, there are people who struggle lacking, there's a lacking of the Midah of Yira internally. And so that causes them sometimes to make choices, or that makes their ability to make choices much more difficult, because they don't perceive. It's a disorder in which they don't perceive, they don't feel that sense of Yira. You know, when the oven...
Or a teenage boy.
Exactly. Or adolescents have not yet adequately developed the sense of Yira. Right? When a person... Right? It's true also with even younger children. A person... Sometimes it's a lack of understanding, but we all know that when the oven is on, it's hot. So you have to be careful. You have to restrain yourself. You want to take out the potato kugel or the challah before it burns, but... If I don't restrain myself and say, wait a second, turn off the oven, get a shmata, take it out, or pot holder, or whatever it is, you're going to burn your hand. So there is a midah of yira that's built in a healthy person, developed adult brain person, as opposed to our adolescents. You're shaking your head, I know what you're saying. But the Rav Volmi then says that's also true spiritually. He says, "Yesh va'adam eno min ha'ma'amin va'afal pi kin koach ha'yira shelo lo chad alifo." You can have a person who is not a ma'amin, who is not a believer, who is not religious or not even spiritual, but they still have a koach of yira. V'hu nimna milavar averos. And that person, even though if they're not observant, they're not a believer, they're not religious, they're not spiritual, but they still restrain themselves. Behisnaguso in their behavior, harbe yoser mimashe deosav darsha mimenu. They're more restrained even than if you were to ask them, oh, is it okay to do that? They would say, yeah, it's okay, but I wouldn't do that. There is an innate voice that says, restrain yourself. Even for people, he says, who are not particularly pious. He says, Yira. Mirasenes es ha'adam. It's that sense of restraint, of fear, which holds a person back. And this fear is a healthy fear. It's the fear of burning yourself when you open the oven. It's the fear of falling off the Hancock building if you're walking on the edge with no harness. That's an important healthy fear. And that fear extends also to social circumstances. It's healthy. It's balancing. Otherwise, a person... You know, if you're afraid of the repercussions of your words, if you're afraid of the impact of your words in a healthy way, it makes you be cautious of what you're going to say. A person who has zero resin could also be referred to as somebody who has zero filter. Right? A resin in the mouth of a horse holds them back from running or galloping. It enables you to control the horse. The filter in our mouth. A person who has no yira, they're unabashed of what they're going to say. They never restrain themselves from what they're going to say. It sometimes has very, very significant consequences. Very unpleasant things might come out. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't be authentic with people, but it doesn't mean that, you know, having a filter is not just good on a device. It's important in the mouth. It's the same, but that filter is no veil from Yira. If a person doesn't have Yira, why should they filter? Why should they fear any consequences? And he says, "Ubemida sheyitzre ha'adam hashfalim biyosem ruusanim." And the more that the base elements of our personality are restrained, "Bemida zu poeles bekirbo hayira hativis hazos." To that extent, we have this inner yira which is acting. And I read an article once. Lo aleinu, some people, they have a, and there was an interview with a parent. An interview with a parent of a child who has a terrible psychological problem that they don't have any yira. So this child and this group of people, they are predisposed to explosiveness and damaging things and very, very destructive behaviors because there's no restraint. lo aleinu. So the extent to which Rav Volbe says, within a person, on the base level, you know, a person's frustrated about something. So maybe their immediate reaction is they want to lash out. A person who lacks that inner restraint, so they may actually hurt someone. And it broke my heart to read this article, because I was reading about how this mother was describing how she struggled to help her child because the child, because they had this psychological disorder, would damage things and hit the parents and all kinds of very, very destructive behaviors, slowly, psychopathic behaviors. There's such a thing. So even if it's not to that extent, but the idea that we restrain ourselves from, you know, we get frustrated at somebody, we want to punch them in the nose. All right, maybe sometimes people do punch people in the nose, and we don't always, and it's probably not a good natia, it's not a good character trait to want to punch somebody in the nose, but it's very uncommon that you actually have somebody who's so frustrated and then they actually punch somebody in the nose. Why? Because they have the yira. That's merasing, that restrains that, you know, yes, you might want to punch somebody in the nose, but you're not actually going to punch them in the nose. That comes from the midah of yira. So he says, Avraham Avinu shows up in a town and he says, you know, I have a problem here. I have a wife and I think she's probably going to be taken captive. So we have to come up with a ruse I say she's my sister, they're going to leave her alone, she gets taken away, it happens twice. What does Avram say about this? When the whole episode with Avimelech in Gerar settles, he says, you know why I did this? He says to Avimelech, Rak en yiras elokim b'makom hazeh. I see there's no yira over here. I'm not interested. He says, yiras elokim is just a basic fear of God. He says, I'm not asking for you people to be pious. I'm saying that there isn't a basic sense of restraint. So I could tell already when I show up, if people don't act with restraint, so then there are not going to be any boundaries. They're going to say, oh, that's his wife, so what? When you have yira, when you have a degree of restraint, so then you have respect for boundaries. If there's no yira selokim, rak en yira selokim, ba'mokom hazeh v'haraguni al dvar ishti. So he says, of course they're going to take my wife. Because there's no restraint. Somebody says, oh, I like it, I'm going to take it. There's no yira. Because in yira selokim b'mokom hazeh, there is no fear of God. So now we're starting to see that these ideas of innate restraint and yira selokim are related. The fear of God, the yira of Hashem, part of that means to recognize that there are consequences to our actions, that Hashem is paying attention to us. And that what our base desires are looking for is not necessarily what our neshama is looking for. Our neshama is saying, stop, think, contemplate. Avraham Avinu is saying, these two are related. A chisaron, a lack of derech eretz, of respecting boundaries, of saying you need to be restrained, is related to a spiritual element. Ein yiras elokim b'makom hazeh. These two are connected. The idea of being restrained generally in life is the idea of being restrained in our spiritual lives. You know, the Ribbono Shel Olam is omnipresent. We just have to pay attention to him. So we have a physical desire that we want to eat something. So we're driving on the highway and we're hungry and we get off at the rest area. It looks so good. Or even better, we're stranded in the airport and they have one of those Annie's pretzels with salt. You see the salt, it's like a mountain of salt. And I'm like, oh, that and a good cold Snapple, I would be so happy. But it's not kosher. So your inner desire says, I'm hungry, I want a nice hot pretzel. And then your restraint says, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, we have to be careful. What do we put in our mouth? And then we're going to get a piece of kosher food, and our instinct is, push it in, stuff it in, eat it really fast, because we're hungry. But the neshama says to us, restrain yourself. Yira Selokim says, isn't there a Bon Shalom here? Don't you have to appreciate the fact that he gave you this? So this is the first yisod that Rav Volbe develops in Yira Shemayim. That there is an element of restraint, and Yira Shemayim means restraining ourselves in the context of our spiritual life. Ah. So perhaps, I wonder if we could develop this idea in a different direction. Because once we understand that yira and restraint is about boundaries, there's actually another connection to the midah of chesed. Right? The first connection is that you have to think about the consequences or the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is outside of you, just like you think about the fact that the person who is in need is the recipient of chesed, is also outside of you. Those are the commonalities that Rav Olbi sets out. But the idea of setting boundaries and that itself being a chesed is something that we can explore. By setting a boundary, I actually do a chesed. By restraining, I actually create. Sometimes restraining is creating. So, for example, one of the names of Hashem, one of the ways that he relates to the world, is the name Shakai, Shin Dalid Yud. That, according to Chazal, is a hint to another concept, to another set of words. It's actually an acronym. Sha'amar Shin Le'olamo Dai. That God said to the world, enough. The name of Hashem, that is Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey, that represents expansiveness, transcendence, the creation of the world. The name Shakai, Sha'amar Le'olamo Dai, means that there is a boundary to the world. There is an end. There is a conclusion. So the Chazal described that when God created the world, it was expanding and expanding and expanding and expanding nonstop. That's the idea of Olam Chesed Yibane, because the Midah of Chesed means expansiveness. Olam Chesed Yibane was expanding, expanding, until the Ribbono Shel Olam said, die, enough. So you could say that was an act of Yira, of Gvura, of boundary setting, of restraining. God restrained the growth of the world. But by doing so, what happened? He did the chesed of enabling us to exist. If the world would keep expanding, then there would be no room for us, because it would just keep expanding and expanding. There has to be a place where it says, stop and make room for something else. Make room for the people. Make room for humanity, for creativity, for partnership, whatever it is. The idea of restraining yourself is an act of creating for someone else. It's an act of chesed. George Washington only served 2 terms as the president of the United States. Why? Because he wanted to restrain himself so that somebody else would become president, and that there would be a tradition, which ultimately became term limits, that there would be a tradition of change of leadership, that there would not be a monarchy. So would you say that George Washington's decision to not run a third term, was that an expression of chesed? In a certain sense, it wasn't expanding. It was limiting. It was restraining himself. But by restraining himself, he actually did a chesed. He actually contributed something. Hashem's restraint in creating the world creates opportunity for others. The shorish of our existence, that Hashem Yisbarach, so to speak, set back, restrained himself, whatever that means, and allowed us to exist, that restraint, that yira, that boundary, that enables us, that gave us the chance that otherwise we wouldn't exist. It's Or Ein Sof. So now we could take it even a bit further, perhaps, into our own lives. There is a great book, which for some people is a very important read, for other people less so, but depends on your personality. It's called The Power of a Positive No, by William Ury. For some people, they don't need this book. They're very comfortable running a balanced life. But for other people whose lives sometimes get out of control because of too many commitments, this book is very good. It's even better if you listen to what it says and you actually do what it says in that book. But okay, at least I read it. What's the shorish of this book, which I just bought for someone? The shorish of the book says the following. That when you say no to one thing, you're actually saying yes to something else. You got to go back initially to your roots. What is important to me? What is my goal? What am I trying to accomplish? And then we realize that to accomplish that goal, that yes, that whatever project or that aspiration, that's going to require sometimes a no, a resen, a mida of yira. Saying no is not a betrayal of who you are. It's actually reinforcing and enabling the goals that you want to accomplish. Right? On a practical level, if you're shaking your head.
No, I'm like, wow.
That's so true, isn't it? Right?
Yeah.
Like, if my goal today is to make dinner for my family, that's my most important thing to do. But then I get 14 phone calls during the day, and I never get to Jewel because I talk to this person, I talk to that person, and I, you know, someone offered me a book to read, so I sat down and read for an hour, and then I went to a class, and then by the time 5 o'clock rolls around, I said yes to all the 14 things. But at my core, what did I really want to accomplish today? I wanted to make sure that I could make dinner. And guess what? I didn't do it. So what do you say? Some people would say, fine, that's fine, okay. But if your shoresh of your goal is one thing, then the chesed that you're going to do for yourself and for your goal is to say no to the other things. So in that respect, perhaps, chesed and yira are related. Because to fully accomplish chesed, we also need a meter of yira. Right? To fully accomplish my expansive goals, I want to be able to solve homelessness in the community, to cure cancer, to end childhood hunger. Well, to do those things, which are tremendous chasadim, you have to say no to volunteering on some other board, to taking 5 other commitments. That's one level of commonality between chesed and yira. But deep within that is understanding the shoresh, which is that in many cases, we learn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that yira is chesed. That setting a boundary is a chesed for ourselves. What looks like yira, that looks like restraint, is actually itself a chesed. It's itself a chesed because it enables us to do the other things or to make space for someone else. Yira and chesed are not opposites. Restraint is a crucial, indispensable element of giving, of sharing, of thinking about others. We're constantly going to be navigating. Yes, if our goal is chesed, what does it mean to think about others, to take care of others? But that concept is not opposing chesed. It actually, when we think about it, it needs chesed. Excuse me, yira. It doesn't. Chesed doesn't oppose yira. Chesed requires yira. To be a healthy, accomplished Baal Chesed requires restraint. It requires the power of the positive no. And so as we navigate life, we can understand, in addition to what Rav Volbi says, that chesed and yira are thinking about others, but we can also understand that yira, which we're defining, as he says, as restraint, as resen, that restraint is itself a great chesed. I hope you have a great week. Thank you for coming.